Hi, my name is Marcia Altman. I'm the author of a series of books based on Pride and Prejudice, that's called The Darcys and the Bingleys, the first of the four books. And this is my first podcast, so if it sounds terrible, I apologize in advance. And instead of introducing my books, which I would prefer to do after I actually know what I'm doing with this thing, I'd like to talk about why I'm doing this podcast, which is that hopefully someone will listen to it and like it. But really, I'm doing this because I don't know what I'm doing with this whole social media thing, and now I'm going to gripe about it for a little while. I recently I was I don't know if I was I was interviewed or if it was a review of my fifth book, which was an anthology of other people's work. Or something like that, where someone said, Marcia Altman kind of puts on this persona of being this like weird, angry New Yorker who doesn't always like talking about Pride and Prejudice and likes talking about swords and dinosaurs instead when she's supposed to be on topic. I don't know if that's actually a persona or if she's real like that in real life. And the answer is yes, I am like that in real life. I'm not making things up. So I think that comes out a little more when I talk. Than, when I'm typing it formally for something that, I have to do for public relations or something like that. So anyway, how this whole thing came to be is the brief history of social media in terms of what authors have to do these days, which, I'm a little resentful of, but I'm an angry New Yorker, so, get used to it. Also, if you are an old woman who has never heard someone curse before, then I don't know what you're doing listening to this podcast, and I congratulate you for, successfully downloading a podcast. But, I may actually do that. I may curse. So, live with it. What happened is, for me, my social media experience, Facebook and Twitter and all that stuff has been very frustrating for me, and I think a little bit for everyone. And the way that it My story of how I came all the way to this point is that I love the internet, I use it all the time, but I'm very concerned with the content that is produced on the internet. I don't think that we, as the internet grows, we don't really have kind of a way to tell if something is worth our time or not. And we put a lot of things on the internet that are pretty worthless and are waste of our time. Putting them up are waste of our time, and reading them are waste of our time, and talking about them later are waste of our time. When I went to college, I graduated in 2003 from Brown. I had my own website. I had a couple different websites. They were all geared towards certain things. I had been active in, posting fan fiction online for a very long time, but I didn't have a blog. Blogs didn't really, that word didn't really start to exist yet. And then 2003, I went to Israel for the year. And while I was in Israel, everyone got on LiveJournal and said, Marsha, you need to get on LiveJournal. Everyone else is doing it. And I was living abroad, and my friends were all in Providence or Boston. And I wanted to stay in touch with them and tell them what was going on in my life and find out what was going on in their life. And LiveJournal ended up being a really good tool, though it took me several months to get on that bandwagon. And so I posted fairly regularly, not every day, but several times a week at least. And they posted, and I found out I was able to keep in touch with people from afar through that and through IM. And Facebook existed, but it wasn't really big. And then when I came back from Israel, I continued to use it for non-fan fiction purposes, keeping in touch with my friends, and I started to stop reading my friends page. And it started to get awkward with friends that I actually knew, as in I actually saw them on a regular basis. When I went moved to New York, I had a friend, I still have a friend, he's still my friend, who would I would see him, I would come over to his house to do a role-playing game or something. And he would say, "Oh, did you read my LiveJournal post?" Because he wanted to discuss whatever it was that he had talked about in his LiveJournal post. And I had to admit that no, I hadn't read his live journal post. I hadn't checked the web in the last few hours, which was a lie. I just wasn't really reading live journal posts on a regular basis. And he was like surprised. Every single time this happened, he was surprised. Like, why aren't you reading my live journal as if it is, God's word on Mount Sinai, like down to the people on the earth? Why aren't you reading? And it took me a while to stop feeling guilty about it. And I realized that I wasn't really reading my friends' posts. So why would they be reading mine? Mine weren't any more interesting than theirs. And so I slowly stopped posting on LiveJournal. I really thought about what I was going to post and said, if no one else is interested in this, there's just no reason for me to generate this content. I'd rather be doing other things. So, and eventually, like 2 years down the line, he admitted that he stopped reading everyone else's LiveJournal posts and, stopped posting on LiveJournal too. And that's kind of, and at that point, Facebook became big, and I had a Facebook account I didn't use, and then suddenly I used it a lot. But I still, sometimes I think about posting something on Facebook, like, oh, today I, went to the museum. And then I think, does anybody really want to know that I went to a museum today? Is there any one of my friends who wants to know that, who needs to know that? No, there isn't. So I'm not going to talk about it. And anyway, about a year and a half ago, the publishing industry was just starting to have its gigantic, not collapse, but it's going through a very, very difficult period right now. I work in publishing, by the way. I'm the assistant to two different literary agents. I have my own agent who represents my work, and then I go into the office for two other agents and basically read submissions and reject them. Most of the time they're rejected. I think they both reject around 99.999% of all submissions. So not because either because they're bad or because the agent doesn't want to re represent it, but because I work for these agents, I get to go to these meetings with the AAR. The AAR is, I don't know exactly what it stands for. I could have looked this up, but I didn't. It's the Amer I think it's the Americans Authors Representatives or something like that. It's the gold standard for being an agent. If you are out there and you are looking for a literary agent, don't get an agent who isn't a member of the AAR. There's very few agents out there that I would actually recommend who are not members of the AAR. It's members of the AAR have to be, working in the publishing industry for a certain number of years. They have to adhere to ethical guidelines of how they deal with their authors and how they deal with publishers, so they can't scam you. And they have to be doing well enough to be able to afford to get into the AAR, so that's an agent that you want, is an AAR agent. Anyway, so they have these panels for agents who want to know things that they don't necessarily have access to. And I get to go to them because my boss goes, or she sends me in her place, or there's sort of open seating for people who work for agents. And about a year and a half ago, social media for authors became this huge thing that it hadn't been before, and everyone was pushing it. Publishers were saying authors have to have websites, they have to give away free content, they have to jet, and all of these companies were coming forward and saying, hey, we'll help your authors, create a website and get their Twitter feed going, and all they have to do is click on this one button, and then that will, send out their pictures of their cats to the world, or alternately their pictures of their dogs, whatever your author wants to produce. And so these media companies, usually not the actual company, usually a company that was in charge of creating content for the authors or helping them do that, would talk about what they did and why it was important for authors to do this. And the agents would listen and take notes. And, even if you were familiar with Facebook or whatever, you might not be familiar with exactly how it could make, one of your clients really successful, exactly how to do it, to maximize, their exposure and to their fan base and all of that. And the message at every one of these meetings was essentially, if you are not, if your clients, the authors that you represent are not doing this, then they are failures as human beings and they don't deserve to be published. That's not actually what they said, but basically that's what they said. And at some point in every meeting, someone would awkwardly stand up and say, How does this translate to actual sales? I.e., if an agent, if it, you know, an author were to do all of the things that you said that they should do, you have any indicators that this would actually increase the amount of books that are sold? And the answer for every single company was essentially, we don't have any hard data on that, but it couldn't hurt. You know, it couldn't hurt, so they should spend a lot of time doing it and not writing. And one company, I think, actually said, well, we have 500 pre-orders for this major biography of this major rock star that is coming out and from on this site. And we were all very impressed until we realized that 500 is a minuscule number for a major nonfiction biography. It's you know, it's not even really worth considering. So that wasn't an indicator, a good indicator. But we come out of these meetings, and I come out of these meetings as an author thinking, oh my God, I gotta do all this stuff. So I created an alternate, I had my account on Facebook, but I created an alternate account under my author name, which is Marshall Altman. I actually have several, for reasons that are complicated. And I created the group page. I eventually created a fan page when group and fan pages went their own way. I updated my website several times, paid someone to do it once because I know some HTML, but I really wanted it to look better. Started an author blog on top of the other blogs I already had in my life. Started an author blog. I had an industry blog. I had a blog when I was traveling in India. You know, I had various things that I use at various times, and I created an author blog. And I joined a collection of Austin authors, people who write the same things as me. We all have a collective blog called Austin Authors, and you can find it, I think, at austinauthors.net. And I had to post that once a month, and give away a book every 2 months, and do additional posts, and comment on other people's posts. And it all started to get a little crazy. And this summer, this you know past summer, we're now towards the end of August. Basically, in what happened was in the spring, I spoke to Ulysses Press, which is my current publisher, and they said, you know, we like book four, we like the sales, but we want to take more time, you know, to look at the sales of book four before we decide to purchase book five. Because by the way, all of 10 books in my series are written. They've been written for a while now. But the publishing process is incredibly slow, and that's why they're not all out. So I decided to sort of dedicate my summer to boosting sales of book four by doing just basically everything that I was supposed to be, everything that I was told I was supposed to do as an author to promote my book. And I updated my website, and I posted on my blog more, and I created a video, which I had never done before. I'm very camera shy. I'm creating this podcast right now. I was very active on other sites. I drew the line at Twitter. At some point, you know, in the Austin Authors group and our mailing list where we talked to each other, everyone got on the Twitter bandwagon, and I just said, no, I have to call it somewhere. I can't possibly do Twitter and everything else. I already have like 7 pages to update at least once a week. I can't take it anymore. And one of the other authors said, but it's just one thing. You don't even have to set it up. You just have to log in and occasionally say something. And I was like, no, I have to limit it somewhere because I'm not, you know, I have too many things to do and they're too all-consuming. And I don't have that much to say that I think is relevant. So sometimes I don't have anything to say about Jane Austen. I don't know how everyone else is somehow capable of generating all this content about Jane Austen, but sometimes if I'm not. I have nothing new to say. I don't want to talk about what I think about the movies or the adaptations or the books themselves. I have nothing in particular to say. I'm doing something else with my life that week. I'm trying to do on other things. The books are done. They're not being edited. There's nothing that I can contribute to the general conversation. So there's no reason for me to contribute to the general conversation just for the sake of being there and being seen. And so all summer, other than Twitter, I worked on this stuff, and I also had to do promotional material for The Road to Pemberley, which is an anthology of other people's work that I edited and was published in July. And I also in July published a small free ebook, which is free everywhere except Amazon, which refuses to bring it below 99 cents, which is of short stories related to book four, purely to promote book four. I published a whole ebook just to promote book four, because the sale of book five depends on the sales of book four. So, everything came down to that. And last week I was talking to my agent, and I hadn't spoken to her in a while because, there are times when there's no re particular reason for us to talk. Sometimes agents don't talk to their clients for years if their clients aren't producing new material. And I don't really like to bother my agent. I know that she's very busy and that agents really do not like to be bothered by their clients because I work for agents, so I know how they operate. And I was talking to her and she said, "Well, have you written anything this summer?" And I said, "No, I've just been doing, all of the Facebooking and the blogging and the giveaways and contests and videos, and I haven't written anything all summer. I have not generated anything new, other than the short story I lo wrote in the late spring for the ebook. I haven't done anything. I normally am working on other books. I write about three books a year, and just it's been a dry summer for me. It's not that there's a tremendous amount of w content in terms of word count, because it takes me about a month to write a 50 to 70,000 word book, and obviously my blog posts are more like 200 to 400 to 500 words. It's just the idea of sitting down, writing a blog post in which you're saying something which is both clever and interesting, and then posting it on a schedule, and then updating all the other websites that you have to announce, "I have a blog post at another website in case you're not looking at it," and responding to people's questions and emailing reviewers, begging them to please review the free book that you sent them like 3 months ago that they promised they would review, and they haven't gotten around to it because for whatever reason. And just it's a tremendous amount of time and creative energy that goes to producing not books, things that are not books, things that are not always worthwhile for people to listen to or read or watch if it's a video. There's just a tremendous amount of content that authors have to generate at this point. And I think this is currently the credo of the publishing industry, is that you have to, if you're an author, you have to do these things. You have to put yourself out there. And if you have nothing to say about your books whatsoever, you should talk about your life, just whatever. Just as long as you talk, people will listen. And I think that, probably a year from now, the credo will sort of reverse itself and say, "Wait, you should probably think about writing some things first and not focus so much on publicity if it's going to cut into your writing." Unless it's if it's going to have a detrimental, detrimental to your career and that you're not writing anything that can't be published because you're busy writing all this stuff to promote you and the material you've already written, then in the long run, that's not going to pan out. It's just going to frustrate you and you're going to burn out sooner or later. I mean, there were definitely periods this summer where I felt like I was completely burned out just based on having to check my Facebook page 8,000 times and wondering where all my reviewers went and bugging reviewers who had posted at other sites to fulfill their promise to post on Amazon and worrying about my Amazon numbers and checking all my different Amazon pages and finding out about sales I didn't know about and then publicizing those sales. And by the way, the publisher used to do a lot of this. I mean, there wasn't social networking like there is today, but the publisher generally was in charge of letting the press know that you had a book and letting bookstores know that you had a book that they might want to promote, and getting the book out there was kind of their job. And a lot of money went into that. In fact, it usually costs more than it costs them to purchase the book from the author. People don't know exactly what it costs a company to produce a book, per book, not very much, but the whole process of acquiring the book, editing the book, paying the editors, designing the book, promoting the book, shipping the book, all of that, it does add up. And you don't know these magic numbers because the publisher doesn't show them to you. It's an internal thing. It's called the P&L sheet, by the way, the profit and losses sheet, where it says exactly what it spent on everything, and at the end, did it make a profit? And by the way, most books do not make a profit. My books have made a profit, and I know that because I've gotten a lot of royalties from them. I'm not swimming in money. I've just, for the amount of money that they paid me initially, I have produced a tremendous amount of royalties. So I've definitely earned out and made the book, and the whole series has been profitable. But book publishers at the current market, they're always looking for ways to cut back. And one of the ways that they can easily cut back in a way that the author can't really tell is publicity. I mean, the author can tell if they're paying attention, but it's very hard to see exactly where they're spending money on publicity. It's very hard for an author who doesn't know a lot about the industry to track that. And even if they do know a lot of about the industry, they don't know necessarily with that company what they're doing and what they're not doing. And publishing companies, for the most part, have sort of said, okay, if you're not going to be a really big book that's a bestseller, or we think is going to be a bestseller, then really, you as an author, you have so many chances to go online and, promote yourself for free that we don't know why we should have to spend money to do it. And we're all terrified that we're going to lose our jobs to Amazon Kindle or something. So, go do everything we used to do for you. Go do it. And if you don't do it, then your book is going to be a failure. So that's also a problem with the industry right now, is that it's a very, the industry is in deep turmoil for a lot of reasons. The general economy and the creation of ebooks, being the two main reasons. The failure of big book chains being another reason, but interrelated with those two. And one of the ways they cut back is publicity, and they sort of expect the author to pick up where they left off. And for the author to do that, the author has to take their time, which they would normally spend writing more material, and instead write things that they don't want to be writing, which is for an author very, very difficult. It comes more easily to some people than other people, but I just have a particular issue with, creating things that I don't think anyone's going to want to read, or if they do read, I think it's a waste of their time. I'm not saying that about everything I've ever written. I've just assiduously tried not to do that. And when I've had days where weeks where I'm just like, I have nothing to say this week. There is nothing I can say about my series that is public enough for, if I'm in the middle of negotiations with a publisher, I don't talk about it. And if I'm, staring at sales numbers, they can't be released. I don't talk about it. If there's just nothing I have to say this week that can be said, then I'm not just going to, fill the space talking about my non-existent cats or non-existent dogs. I don't have any pets right now because I live in a tiny apartment in New York. There's no pets to talk about. And I'm generalizing here a little bit, but I'm just not very good at generating that content. What I am good at is writing books. If anyone would leave me alone, I could generate 3 to 4 books a year. But instead, I'm doing this. So I think there's a lot of other authors out there who are as frustrated with this process as I am. And I just want to be honest, and I'm really tired of holding back. I'm not angry at anyone in particular. I'm not angry at my publisher at all. They've really, done a lot with all things considered. They've done a lot for my book. And I was really, really happy that they picked me up after I was orphaned by Source Books, who also, did a tremendous job of getting the book out there when my first 3 books were being published and are still being published by them. They still promote them. Everyone's doing their best in the circumstances, but the general idea that, you have to produce this content and everyone's going to love it and everyone's going to care about your personal life and therefore buy your books is, I think it's bunk. I think a lot of it's bunk because I also, follow a lot of author blogs, not just of people who produce Pride and Prejudice stuff, but also people who, it's sort of reciprocal. I want them to follow mine, so I follow theirs. And they don't have anything interesting to say necessarily. Or sometimes they have really crazy political beliefs that have nothing to do with their books, and they go on and on about that, which is funny. I have to admit that. It's really funny when you get someone like that on your list. But, a lot of them, they just are like, well, this is where I went with my family on vacation. I'm like, wow, that's great. I don't know your family. I don't know you. I didn't even read your book. I'm just following you because you're following me. And we're both trying to pump our numbers to make ourselves look like better authors than we actually are. And I can't pretend. I'm very bad at pretending to care about things I don't care about. I'm not going to pretend that I care about where their family went on vacation. And it's even more depressing. Really to push the point in. It's even more depressing when they get sick or injured or something, and I don't know anything about them other than that they have a book and they are also on my list, so I'm on their list. And everyone's wishing them well, and I want to wish them well because it's bad when something happens to another person, medically especially. You feel bad. Or they post, oh, my grandmother's dying. I'm like, well, that's really sad. Now that I have so many people following my blog and so many people whose blogs I follow, everyone's grandmother seems to be dying this summer. There's just, I'm taking time out of my life to throw empty sentiments at you. I can't really do that. It's not really, I'm very honest for me to say, I'm sorry about your grandmother. I am sorry, but I don't have any emotional connection to you. And everything that we've, the link between us is based on publicity for our books and nothing else. And we shouldn't really pretend that anything else is going on here. And we even haven't read each other's books. Most of them are self-published books that I will probably never read, and they'll probably never read mine. And there's this giant author community of people friending each other because they're authors, and in theory, we're going to talk about craft or money or publishing or whatever, but we're not. We're just going to try and guilt each other into going to each other's, book parties, which we're not going to go to because we live in different states. And the only reason we found each other was because we're friends with everyone else who's trying to do this. So I don't want to use the word circle jerk, but that really is, part of it, that part of that culture that you have to, be part of. And at some point I said to my boss, who's, an agent, I said, I have a lot of friends and it looks really impressive on my Facebook page, but most of those people are people that I friended so that they would friend me. And I don't think, and we're all just shouting at each other about our books, and none of us care about our books. We just care about shouting to the other people about our books. We don't care about the other people. We're just, it's just you're sounding off in a hollow box to some extent. But it looks good and publishers want you to do it. So you do it faithfully because you believe, that this is something you have to do to promote your book. And certainly, as a career author, you're going to do whatever you can do to promote your book. But in the end, what are you really doing? Why are you spending this time that you could be spending, researching or writing or improving your craft or editing or just anything else? I don't know, watching paint peel would be less productive than what you're doing, but not way less productive sometimes it feels like. So, I don't know. I've wanted to do this rant for a long time, so I'm really grateful that I got to do it. I don't know if it was a good idea or a bad idea, but there it is. And in future blog posts, I'd be happy to actually talk about my books and the process of writing if anyone actually wants to know about that. The process of publishing is actually quite interesting, I think, anyway. Because it's hidden from a lot of people, and no one really knows until they get their books published what goes into publishing a book, and it's different for everybody. So that's very interesting. I'm perfectly willing to talk about that, but I did want to express, I don't know why I just spent 28 minutes talking about why it's bad to do podcasts and blogs on a podcast, and then I'm going to post on my blog. But I did want to get that out there. I cannot be the only author who's thinking this right now. Is, oh my God, I have to do another blog post because, it's the day that I do blog posts. I can't be the only person. So I'm throwing that out there. I apologize if you think I'm an angry, disgruntled person. I can't really apologize for that. It's sort of the way that I talk. I'm not actually that angry inside. I just, this is the way that I express things, partially because I'm a New Yorker. Maybe I can blame a lot of it on that. But partially because I'm a frustrated author and I don't know what's going on in the business. No one does. And I don't know what my future career is going to be as a result of that. No one does. And I don't know what the economy where the economy is going to go, if I'm going to continue to support myself, or if I'm going to have to get a job that I hate that's not writing. No one knows the future. We're all a little worried about it, and we're all kind of pretending that we're not, which is, not honest. And I really prefer to be as honest as possible. So, if you're willing to tune back in after that, I'll try and be as honest as possible with you about this whole process, which can be very exciting and fun, and sometimes isn't, So, thanks for listening, and if you're not completely discouraged, then, tune back in, and I should have something up about my first book soon. Thanks for listening. This has been Marshall Altman, author of The Darcys and the Bingleys, among other books. And that's about it.